How many times have you seen somebody who knows exactly what to do, but they just can't simply do it? Well, that's what a podcast we're talking about today is, character traits. And I've defined 14 muscular millionaire traits that you need, that I need, in order to become, in order for you to actually not only get to your goals, but actually sustain your goals. And so these are the 14 traits that I've looked at over the last 18 years of me lifting weights and the last decade of me coaching and working with clients and people, that all these traits are needed for both getting to the goal, but also keeping the goal, most importantly. So if you get any value from this, oh my gosh, like this one is so good. Again, share this episode with another entrepreneur and make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Without further ado, let's dive in. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettes.
Being lean and muscular is simple. Consume less food than you use and lift more weights. Just like making money is simple. Create more income than you spend. So if it's so dang easy, why aren't you a muscular millionaire? It's either your skills, your traits, or your beliefs. In this video, I'm going to share with you the muscular millionaire skills that you need. And I'm telling you what, it's gonna be juicy. So if you're ready, let's go ahead and let's dive in. But before we do, I challenge you, hit that like button for the YouTube algorithm so more entrepreneurs like yourself see this video. And think about it, subscribe to the channel if you're looking for a fatter bank account and leaner body. All right, let's dive in. So muscular millionaire skills number one, workout programming. Workout programming is like a detective's case. It requires a lot of digging and a lot of hard work up front. But in the end, once you crack the code, people will think you're the Sherlock Holmes of fitness. Now, workout programming involves five variables: frequency, duration, exercise selection, volume, and activity. Now, the frequency of days that I work out is going to determine the exercises done in each day and the volume of exercises done for each workout. This is why we start with this one first. I've worked out successfully in little as 2 days a week for many, many years. Now, these days were packed full of core movements like barbell squats and barbell deadlifts and flat bench presses and shoulder presses, combined with supplemental exercises that target specific muscle groups like my back, my arms, my chest, my quads, my hamstrings. Now, these workouts, they tend to be a little bit longer, like 2 hours plus. And by the end of it, I'm telling you what, I was tapped out. But because I only trained twice a week, each day I did train, I was actually really well rested and I was excited to go to the gym every single week. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I've also worked out 7 days a week for many years as well. And in fact, I once worked out for 941 days in a row. Crazy. And because my frequency of training was so high, I actually replaced all my barbell movements with secondary movements like dumbbell squats and dumbbell bench presses and dumbbell shoulder presses, along with hitting the same muscle groups like my back, my arms, my quads, my hamstrings. And because my frequency was actually much higher, I was able to cut my training time in the gym in half from like 2 hours plus to just like a little over an hour. And while my gym times actually got shorter, I was actually spending more time in the gym. So, but to be clear, there is no perfect frequency, just the perfect frequency for you right now. So the next variable we're going to talk about is duration. Now, the duration of your workout is going to depend on your coordination with each movement that you do, your aerobic capacity to recover and rest between each set. Also, things like shower times and travel times to and from the gym. All these factors matter when it comes to blocking off time in your schedule for your workouts. Now, when I get asked, Logan, how much time do you spend in the gym every single week? I just die a little bit inside. The time I spend inside the gym, it's called a distracting variable. It means it has no causal relation to my gains, okay? The causal variable is actually the amount of work that I do in each session. I call this volume, which is our next variable. Volume is simply the amount of weight lifted times the reps times the sets. So an easy example would be I bench press 225 pounds for 10 reps for 10 sets. So I multiply 225 times 10 sets times 10 reps to get 22,500 pounds. How I use that number is I create a baseline with that. And from week to week, I challenge myself to beat that every single week. And so I can beat that with my reps, with the added weight, or with adding additional sets. And so how do you get better? Violence is the answer, my friends. The last variable in workout programming is activity. So there's two types of activity. We have NEAT activity and we have traditional activity. So NEAT stands for non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which refers to the energy expended for everything we do that is not sleeping, eating, or sports like exercise. So this includes activities such as like fidgeting and walking and just going to the store and cleaning, even just like typing at the computer. So combining activities you already do with additional movement is my favorite hack. I go on walk and talks. I walk while I'm on the phone. I answer emails while walking to get in my NEAT activity. I also plan traditional activity, at least 30 to 60 minute walks every single day. And for me, on my walks, I go because I'm feeling tired and lethargic, so it makes me feel better. When I walk, I use it as time to think. I also listen to audiobooks or podcasts. I also use those as opportunities to make phone calls or for posting content, or when I just need to make a big decision and give myself some time to think, I go on a walk. Now, our next muscular millionaire skill set is meal plan plan creation. Now, I'm really excited about this one. So meal plan creation is like to the body, like a business plan is to a business. It's the North Star to push you back on course when inevitably, like life is going to push you around. So there are four variables to creating a meal plan. The first one is food choices. The second one, meal frequency. The third one, meal timing. The fourth one, protein and calorie targets. I use a unicorn list and a protein list and a sauce and seasonings list and a drink list to create my exercise or my food selections. And after making the food selection, I determine my frequency, how many times I'm going to eat and when it's going to be. Then with my protein and calorie targets, I simply add the amounts of food for each food choice. Now I literally created an entire video just on meal plan creation. So after you get done with this one, go watch that video, okay? So the next millionaire skill set is food preparation. Now the food preparation process starts by adding all my food choices to my grocery list. I use an app called Google Keep for my grocery list that is shared with all the people who need to either add to it or buy the dang groceries. I've even bought groceries online before and had someone else pick them up. Once I actually get the groceries in my house, there are certain foods that I like that I need prepped. Foods like chicken breast and ground turkey and rice and potatoes. These are all things I like to eat that need to be cooked ahead of time. And so they get cooked ahead of time and they just get stored in a big ass container ready to reheat and then eat. So I like doing this over doing the traditional meal prepping because it gives me the flexibility to change the foods I'm eating on a nightly basis based on how I feel. Using tools and cooking things that have gotten me by, but even I've got by without all those things completely. Now, the next skill set we're gonna talk about is measurement. Have you ever decided to bake cookies? So here's what you need. You need butter, you need sugar, you need brown sugar, you need eggs, you need vanilla extract, you need baking soda, you need hot water, okay? You need salt, flour, you need chocolate chips if you're doing chocolate chip cookies. What happens if you were to try to bake cookies without having any of the measurements to go with that or following any directions? You get a surprise cookie. What happens when you don't measure what you put into your body? You get surprise results. And so there's a huge difference between measuring for cookies and measuring for food. There are a few simple ways to measure. So you can measure with your eyeballs. You can measure with your hands. You can measure with cups and spoons. But the most accurate way to measure your food is by weight. And so this is where a handy dandy food scale comes in. So I prefer to measure in grams because my protein and calorie targets are in grams. But sometimes I have to measure in ounces. And sometimes I even have to measure in pieces, especially for like Reese's Pieces, like one of my favorite desserts. Measuring food is necessary for creating consistent results because we all know what doesn't get measured isn't gonna be managed. Skill set number 5, reading a nutrition label. So you remember those long math problems we had in school, the ones that were like story-based and the teacher would tell us, cross out all the information that has nothing to do with the answer that we're actually trying to solve. Well, if we use this example, on the back of a nutrition label, we can cross out everything but 5 numbers. Those 5 numbers are gonna be the serving size, the calories, protein total, carbohydrates total, and fat total. These 5 numbers are all we need to measure and utilize our next muscular skill set, which is tracking. First 3.5 years I ran my business, I was an emotional basket case. When I finally had a mentor who sat me down and asked me for my numbers for my business, he could not help me because I didn't have numbers to provide him. It was in that moment that I finally understood how important data was, not just for me, but if I actually wanted to get help. That was 2016. And by the end of 2017, my business 10x'd. It 10x'd because I freaking knew my numbers. So in 2018, I was met with a very similar situation, but this time in regards to my health. And so I started working with the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Trevor Cashy. When he started coaching me, he had me do the very simple process of tracking my numbers. And since 2018, I have tracked my protein, fats, and carbs. I've tracked my body weight. I've tracked my sleep, and I've tracked my activity and even my workouts. Because I'm also a diabetic, I also track my insulin and my fasted blood sugars. I put all of this data on a sheet called Health Sheet. Tracking my macros is done as simple as using a pen and paper, or my preference right now is actually to use a food tracking app like MyFitnessPal. Using pedometers is what allows me to track my steps. I've used my phone before, but now I currently use a Fitbit. You could also use an Apple Watch. Nice thing about the Fitbit and the Apple Watch is they actually measure your sleep and they give you sleep scores as well. And the stepping on a scale is pretty simple to do, but these are all skills that are needed in order for you to be a muscular millionaire. The next skill set that we're gonna talk about is eating out. Eating in an environment where you didn't prepare the meal is very crucial. Whether it's going out to restaurants, going out to parties, or events, you're going to encounter situations where you aren't in control 100% of the food choices. There are many strategies, but in this, I'm going to share 2 basic ones. For example, let's say you're going to go out to dinner and you want to enjoy yourself. So what you can do is you look at the menu ahead of time. You're going to see what you're going to eat, allocate the majority of your calories to that dinner. You can eat your protein before you go out because typically most restaurants, most places, like protein is the most expensive and it's usually scarcer on most menus. And in the extreme example, like just don't eat anything until dinner. Make sure you stay within your calories over your protein. And a bonus strategy, when you have to go somewhere that you don't really want to go, you don't want to eat anything, then you can eat before, or like sometimes what I do is I actually will bring my own food into the restaurant. Yes, I'll bring like a protein source like chicken or turkey, and then I'll order a carbohydrate they have there, and then I will push them together. Another simple rule is just like get your protein in first, and then you can eat whatever you want after that. And so when going out to eat, like you rely a lot on your eyeballs and your hands and your experience to ensure that you're actually utilizing muscular millionaire skill set number 6, which is measurement. And so after I go out to eat, what I'll do is I'll just actually input all of the food I ate into my calorie tracking app, and I'll err on the side of too much, because usually restaurants, they use lots of fats and oils, which makes everything taste really, really good. So now that we have all this data, what the hell do we do with it? Well, this leads us to our final muscular millionaire skill set, number 8, which is make informed decisions. In school, we get the lesson first, and then we're supposed to go get the experience. But in the game of business and health, we get the experience first, and then it's our job to figure out the lesson. So have you ever been around someone who just like has the Midas touch? I've been around those type of people. And their Midas touch, what I realize, is actually just pattern recognition. And in 2018, I had already had many years of experience with different diet plans and workout plans. And when I began actually tracking my data, I became armed with information that would help me to lose 55 pounds on the outside that I had the Midas touch. But if I just get stuck like in a fat loss phase, AKA a plateau, it's really simple. I just turn the calories down or turn the activity up. If I get stuck in my strength, all I do is I simply increase the volume. Now, making these adjustments paired with an appropriate amount of time is how I look like I have the Midas touch, but all I'm doing is making informed decisions. So whether it's business, whether it's marriage, whether it's parenting, making informed decisions is the key to winning consistently. And when you combine the muscular millionaire skill sets with the muscular millionaire traits, which I talked about in a previous video, whew, man, you get an outcome that you freaking want. But there's still one missing piece. That's the identity shift. So have you ever like thought to yourself, I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. I don't know how. In the next video in this series, I'm going to share with you the final piece to the Muscular Millionaire 3-Step Framework, Muscular Millionaire Beliefs. In this video, I'm going to share with you the top 20 limiting beliefs you must avoid to be lean and muscular. So make sure that you subscribe to this channel to catch the next video, and tell me in the comments below, like, which muscular millionaire skill is your strongest? And I'm actually curious, which one is your weakest? I appreciate your time. Bye-bye.